This interview is being conducted for the DeKalb Oral History Project, sponsored by the DeKalb Public Library. The interviewer is Sarah Finnegan. The narrator is Linda Boardman Kerr. The interview is taking place at the Sound Studio at DeKalb Public Library on March 23rd, 2019.
By letting me know your full name.
Sure. It's Linda Boardman Kerr. It was Hallgren for a while, but now it's just Boardman Kerr.
And when and where were you born?
I was born on the southwest corner of First and Fisk in a beautiful old house. I'm trying to find it. It was across from the Elwood House. Unfortunately, it was bought and torn down and turned into an apartment building. But it was a beautiful house.
And tell me about your parents.
Okay. My parents met in high school. They both went to DeKalb High School. And my father's father was worked for the railroad, for the he was an engineer for the Chicago Northwestern. My mother came from a family that her mother was a Wagner, and they lived in this beautiful house on South 2nd Street across from Huntley Park. It was a large family. The house still stands, and there's a wonderful story I'm going to tell you about the house later.
Yeah.
So my mother comes from a family, and he was a merchant. He ran a general store called Wagner's General Store downtown, which later became Malone's, which was still before your time, which later became Moxie. So mom and dad, they met in high school, and they dated, and they broke up for a while. And my mother and Jesse Glidden, you know, the Glidden name, of course.
Oh,
she
absolutely.
And Jesse went into Chicago, and my dad was working for 10 cents an hour at Harding's restaurant. And so they happened to see him.
Yes.
And my mom and my dad, he said, if I come out to DeKalb, will you go out with me? And she said, yes. And so she had been engaged to the father of Dan Fogelberg. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
I have not.
Okay, because that's before he was a famous folk singer, rock folk. And he wrote a famous song called Leader of the Band. You can Google it, soul song. And it was about his father, who was a classmate of my mom's, Lawrence Fogelberg. They were engaged, but then my mom broke up with him and married my dad. But Mr. Fogelberg's son, Dan, became very popular. Sadly, he died of cancer in his 40s, I think. But mom and Mr. Fogelberg remained friends. And my dad was cool with Mr. Fogelberg coming into town and bringing Dan's latest record and having cocktails with mom and dad. Anyways, that's probably too much.
But oh, no, that's great. Do you have any siblings?
I do. I was the youngest of four. There were two boys and one girl. The eldest was 16, my brother Jack, and the other brother 14, and my sister 8. So I was kind of a surprise.
So the house you grew up on was on First and Fisk.
It was on First and Fisk, and it had three porches. It had, six fireplaces, one in my bedroom. So I remember going to sleep with a fire. And as far as special aspect of the house, there was a cistern in the basement. Do you know what a cistern
No.
is? It's kind of like a well, sort of. It's kind of open. This was so long ago, it's foggy in my memory. But a mystery, there was a cistern, this big dark hole that went down into the ground. And I remember that. Another huge memory I have of living there is that across the street on Fisk Street was a nun's residence, another beautiful building, which has been torn. So that was next to St. Mary's Hospital.
Oh, okay.
And in those days, we're talking the early 50s, because I was born in 53, the nuns wore full habits. And I remember them always walking down Fisk Street between the nunnery and the hospital and St. Mary's Church and school. And, of course, the ones in white were nurses.
Yes.
The ones in black were teachers. My mother had gone across the street at St. Mary's Hospital to have me since I was right. It was a wonderful place to live.
Yes.
The neighborhood was neat. See if I can find this picture. I don't know if you've heard of the Haish House, of course. Okay, the Haish House was gorgeous. We used to walk around there and roller skate, and then someone bought that, tore it down.
I was going to say that was torn down in the mid-70s or something.
It was a wonderful childhood. It was a wonderful place to grow up, yes.
Do you have any toys or games you remember playing that you enjoyed?
Things were much simpler then. Yeah, there was I had a little record player, little turntable, and I played 45s and 78s, I think they were, 78s. And there were these little yellow records that you could buy for kids. They're called golden records. And I listened to those all the time. And I still love music to this day, but I remember as a three-year-old playing that over and over again.
Well, I can imagine with older siblings, too, you were probably surrounded by
music
as well. Yes,
later on, I was listening to WLS with my brothers and sisters. And, of course, my parents were always into big band music. And
do you remember any chores that you had as a child?
I was expected to make my bed and clean the tub and the sink in the bathroom. Basically, yeah, I didn't really have a lot of chores.
Not too many.
My mom did most of the work.
Yes.
Yeah.
So your mom was a stay-at-home?
Yes. In those days, most mothers were.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they wore house dresses, and they cooked and they cleaned and stayed at home.
Yeah.
And I felt very fortunate to have had. My father, he actually owned the hillside with another man. It was called the Donut Hutch. And he also, you know where that mural is on First and Lincoln?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. There was a standard station there, and he also ran that at the same time. So that's what he was doing all the time.
Oh, wow. So he was juggling businesses.
Yes, yes. He had kind of a difficult childhood, and he wanted to make sure that his family had it much better, easier than he did. His mother died of the influenza in 1918, when he was seven, and from then on, life was pretty hard. His father chose to marry someone who was not very nice to him. And, anyway, so he rose above all that.
Yes, to take care of his family first and foremost.
Yes.
Any childhood heroes that you remember or fads from that time?
Not really heroes. I thought that Haley Mills, whom you've probably never heard of.
Oh, yes.
Parent Trap,
yes.
The original Parent Trap, which was the best Parent Trap.
Yes.
Yeah. We wanted to be like her.
Do you remember any favorite department stores downtown or spending time downtown DeKalb?
When I told you that Wagner's General Store was the store that was owned by my mother's mother's family. That became Malone's, and that was a great place. Everyone knew you there. They had quality merchandise. Mm. It was made in the USA.
Wow.
Very friendly, and that's where you'd go for your shoes and they had a good fabric section, and I learned how to sew.
Oh yeah.
Always went there. So we also had, a Penny's, and we had a store called Spurgeon's. We had a Montgomery Ward's, which everyone called Monkey Ward's for some reason. I don't know why. But Malone's was the place. And downtown DeKalb was fabulous. And then there was the Jacqueline Shop, which was kind of, Cindy Crawford worked there when she was in high school. Like, expensive, and you were going to be watched very carefully if you
were. Yes. Did you have any pets?
Basically, we just had we usually had cats. I remember Pat and Mike, very original names. I do remember, since my brothers were quite a bit older, one was in Florida for some reason, and we got a package one day, and it was a baby alligator. It had holes in it. It was a baby alligator.
Oh, my goodness.
So people weren't as conscientious about being cruel to animals these days.
Yes.
And we don't know why he thought that was a good idea, and I don't remember what happened to it, but basically we had cats.
What was your religious life like growing up?
We went to the Methodist Church, which is next door. We went every week. I went to Sunday school. The congregation was very large then, and now it's dwindling. In fact, they're trying to move from that church to a more modern one, and I'm afraid that church will probably be torn down.
Yeah.
Which is why I no longer, among other reasons, which is why I no longer go there.
Yes.
Because I feel that where there's a will, there's a way. If they wanted to preserve it, they could.
Yeah.
I showed you the picture of the Hayes house being torn down.
Yes.
And I am so disgusted with tearing down the old buildings.
Yes.
It makes me very sad. So, yes, we went to the Methodist Church. Always had a beautiful candlelight service on Christmas Eve. And this seemed really magical to me as a child.
Were you ever mentioned in the newspaper?
All the time. In 1956, we had DeKalb Centennial. And it was a big deal. All the men in town wore beards, and all the women, we sewed these old dresses, and there was a huge parade. and there were many events, and I'm sure I was probably in the front page of the Chronicle for that. It must have been a slow news day or something, but it was Valentine's Day at the Boardman House, and there's a picture of my mother and my sister and I making Valentine's. In those days, let me say that anytime you went into the hospital, it was in the paper, admitted to the hospital, to the Glidden Hospital or St. Mary's.
Yes.
Anytime you got engaged, when you got married, there was a big write-up of, you know, describing your wedding gown and everything. So it was it was easy to be in the paper in those days.
Who were some of your friends growing up?
I was fortunate to be able to go to the lab school, which they used to have at Northern.
Oh.
It's called Gable Hall now. But started out in McMurray Hall, you know where that
yeah.
is? Okay, so I went to a four-year-old kindergarten there, and then we moved to the new building, which is now Gable Hall. So I went to the lab school for four-year-old kindergarten through ninth grade. And we were all very close. We had many, many advantages. They started us in foreign languages in like third grade.
Wow.
We would go up to Laredo Taft Field Campus for like a week to study nature and stuff.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of advantages, and we're still very close. When I go to class reunions, we are called lab scabs. I don't know, maybe they thought we were stuck. We weren't stuck up, fortunately.
Yes.
And we're still very close, and we have a Facebook page.
Oh,
where we talk
nice.
About, do you remember Madame Huguenard? Do you remember this and that? And so those were the kids I hung out with until I got to DeKalb High School and then became friends with the other kids. So
was it different going to a public school after?
Yeah, it was a little scary, but it was fun. Yeah. High school was difficult.
It's difficult for everybody, isn't it?
And I teach at high school now. I've done it for years, and I think I stay there because I'm sympathetic to the kids, especially the underdogs, and
yes.
I know that it's difficult, and I'm there for them. So.
Yeah. When did you learn to drive?
16.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although when my parents were out, if they left a car behind, my girlfriend and I would. I mean, I knew how to drive, so I remember one night taking the car out, and we were driving around, and then put the car back. But we forgot to, it had been raining. We forgot to wipe the rain off the car, so my parents got home and like, why is there rain on the car? So so 16, yeah, had a Mustang it wasn't mine, but I got to use it, a red Mustang convertible.
Oh wow,
so that was so cool.
That's a big deal.
Only got 3 speeding tickets in my first.
What events do you remember most that had impact you? World events,
right?
Or
the Cuban Missile Crisis had a big impact on me.
Oh yes.
My parents tried to calm me down, but I could tell they were worried, and I remember going to sleep thinking that we were going to be blown up.
Right.
It was very, very scary. And then after that, I remember something, a shooter in Austin, Texas, a guy climbed up onto a tower and started shooting people. No one had ever heard of such a thing in those times. Mm. I mean, that was insanity.
Yes.
Now,
right.
It's normal. I mean, we might as well keep the flag at half mast.
Right,
it's happening
right.
All the time.
No kidding.
And then, of course, the Kennedy assassination. I was in fifth grade, and the principal came to the door and talked to the teacher, and then he frowned. And we had TVs in the room, and that was very unusual to have a television in the room in 1963.
Yeah.
Turned it on, and then of course that whole week following that, everyone was glued to the television, and so I remember that vividly.
Describe a typical family dinner.
We always ate together. Mom cooked. The food in those days, we didn't have access to the fresh vegetables that we have now.
Yes.
So it was very ordinary, probably overcooked food. Vegetables from cans. Yeah. And that was, you know, and then frozen foods came in, thank goodness. And then fresh, yeah.
Yes. Who did the cooking? What were your favorite foods?
Okay, I was a very picky eater. Mm. I wanted steak and chocolate sundaes.
How were holidays celebrated in your family?
Everyone got together. It was very, on the surface, it was very Norman Rockwell.
Oh, yes.
Scratched the surface and there was a lot going on. But since I had since I had three siblings, you know, and they all got married and started having kids, we would often have like 40 people at the house. Yeah,
big family parties.
Yeah, it was fun. It had its moments. You know, you can imagine family.
Yes.
You don't choose your family.
Yes.
You know, they're your family.
Yes.
But in retrospect, I get nostalgic about it because now my family's not like that. You know.
Right.
It's a very small family gathering because we have a blended family and stuff. So.
It's a little different.
So it was big and it was fun, but I'm sure when you get nostalgic about anything, you know, you think you remember the good and you don't remember the bad, the weirdness,
yes,
the stuff that wasn't so good.
Right. The cocktails and the smoking and, you know, those things too.
Yeah. Oh, everyone smoked.
Oh, yeah. 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 I guess, I mean, you've already kind of touched on it, but how is the world different today?
Oh, let me get you started. Let me just say, you know, the world is so much smaller because of technology.
Yes.
You know, I talked to him. One son is in South Korea, and one, Hayden, is all over South America.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
You know, so I can talk to them or text them instantly. Getting in touch with old friends.
Yeah.
Meeting people on Facebook. I have a sofa I can stay on in Australia. So the world has gotten a lot smaller, and
yes,
the DeKalb has gotten a lot bigger. And I don't like the way it's changed.
Yeah.
Especially downtown. I wish that could.
I know.
They could do something to make that better. But there are still a group of people, old DeKalb people, that make it a good place.
Yes.
Yeah.
Keep the history alive.
Right. Right. And I'm a member of the Gerler House Board. We're trying to. I strive to keep the historical places going. So I'm not happy about that. Okay. And everything is faster.
Yes.
Everything is so homogenized. It's every town USA. I mean,
yes,
drive down Sycamore Road, you could, with a few exceptions, you could be in any state in the country.
Yes.
And you've got the same franchises.
Same.
And then all the storage sheds, people collecting stuff.
Right.
Drives me nuts, you know, and we're killing the earth.
Yes.
And that's very discouraging.
Yes. Who's the oldest relative you remember as a child?
My mother's father. He lived into his late 80s. Veer Goodyear. He sang in a barbershop quartet.
Oh, my goodness.
And he ran a bakery downtown DeKalb.
Oh.
Called Goodyear's Goodies. I have a table in my kitchen that they used in the bakery and a huge mixing bowl.
Oh,
so
wow.
So those are a couple things. He was always over for dinner because he was a widower.
Yeah.
And I remember him. He died in 1968. So I do have a fairly
good
memory of him. Yeah.
And did he come from somewhere else?
He came
or?
From Pawpaw, Illinois.
Do you know about your family's surname?
Boardman. It's British, and I think it had to do with like carpenters, people who worked in carpentry.
Yes. Yes.
How about family stories?
Yes, please.
Okay, I showed you the old Wagner house on 2nd Street.
Yes.
It used to have a porch in the front, and my grandmother, Cora, was probably in her early 20s, and she was going out with a young man, and they were sitting on the porch at night, and he gave her a diamond. He wanted to, it's not a best picture, but here she is there.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So he gave her a diamond and proposed to her. She didn't trust that it was a real diamond. So she wrote her name, Cora, on the glass, knowing that the diamond cuts through glass. And that is still there to this day. The people who live there have promised me that if the house gets torn down,
right,
or the window gets broken, that I will get that fragment of window. She did not end up marrying this guy, even though it was diamond. She did not end up marrying him. But that's a cool story.
Wow, that's a great story. Any physical characteristics that ran in your family?
Curly hair.
Curly hair, yes.
Yeah, curly hair. Here, if I let mine go natural.
So did your mother have curly hair?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, she did. And in the 60s, this was a big problem.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Because it was all about the London look, and you had to have straight, shiny, swingy hair. And I would go to great lengths to get down by the ironing board. My sister would iron it, and we'd set our hair on rollers. And so curly hair was...
Yes, not in.
No. You always want what you don't have.
Of course. Do you have any special heirlooms? that were just passed down to you?
Just what I told you. Well, this Wagner home.
Oh, yes.
Each of the Wagner kids, there were seven of them, they got one of the, a couple are in the archives at the university library.
Oh, awesome.
So this has the knit. Here's Mr. Wagner, who started
the
store. He was a very well-to-do merchant. And basically...
That's really special.
Yeah. Oh, and then Clinton Rosette, you know, of the school, he was an ancestor of my mother's. And he had a sword that we got.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So he's another ancestor.
I feel like you don't hear a lot about Clinton Rosette.
No.
I feel like he doesn't get as much... as much talk as the others,
yeah,
you know?
I don't know why they named the school after him, but that's cool.
I mean, I guess he was, he funded the Chronicle,
right,
so that's...
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about getting married?
I did get married to a DeKalb person, Jeff Hallgren, Hallgren Lumberyard, which was here for years and years and
years.
Yes. And then we had two sons, and we amicably split and married other people, and... lived in DeKalb, yeah.
Goodness.
So yeah, so everything. My kids were basically raised with four parents.
Yes.
So yeah,
lots
of
support
that
there.
Out pretty well. And the Hallgren Lumber Company, of course, was here for ages and ages.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why did you choose your children's names? What was your influence?
Hayden was one of the Wagner kids. So
oh wow.
Hayden Wagner, he was a treasurer at West Point for many, many years and became very successful. That's how I named Hayden.
Yeah.
Hayden, I saw on Elton John's first record album, I saw one of the people that was playing with him was named Caleb Quay. And so I thought, I like the name Caleb. So,
from
an Elton John record album.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm pretty sure I was named after the Jefferson Starship song, Sarah.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm pretty sure my grandma chose that one.
That's a beautiful name.
Yes.
I was going to be named Sarah if I wasn't Linda. Sarah just flows off the tongue.
Yes.
Nice.
What is your proudest moment as a parent?
Basically, raising the kids to where I think, you know, they're into adulthood, and knock on wood, they're not going, that they're good, that they're kind, that they're not addicted to anything.
Yes. They're seeing the world, too. How fantastic is that?
Yeah.
So I know that you said you're a teacher. Tell me more about why you chose that profession.
Well, see, originally, I got my degree in English, which if you don't want to teach, and I didn't want to teach for a long time, and I did not get my teaching certificate. So originally I went into store display. I like to go to France, and I had spent significant time in France. And so there was a department store called the Galerie Lafayette in Paris, which I hung out at a lot.
Oh, wow.
And I got very intrigued by their window displays. And I kind of thought, I want to do that. So I went into Chicago and started interviewing at Marshall Field's and all the other stores on State Street, because that was the great street in those days. And I got a job at Charles A. Stevens, which was a women's department store. It was wonderful. So I had fun doing windows and visual merchandising. And then Jeff and I moved back to DeKalb for various reasons, and I was a store manager for a couple different stores.
Oh.
So I was in retail for a while. And then when I had children, I also sold desserts. I have French desserts, because I'd taken some pastry classes in France. So I sold desserts. I also sewed for people. I also cleaned the Nearing house.
Oh.
So I've done all this stuff.
Jack of all trades.
Yes. When the kids when Hayden was finally in first grade, I decided I wanted to do something that was that gave me some freedom and I could be with my kids too.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
23 and a half years ago, I started subbing. You know, it's crazy to like substitute teaching, although sometimes I've done long-term jobs in clothing and foods, usually.
Yeah.
So I just kind of fell into that and never got my teaching certificate. Yeah, but I like the freedom. I love to travel, and my husband and I sometimes will leave just spontaneously and go somewhere.
Oh, what a great feeling.
Like Lisbon or something, yeah. can you be ready to go to Lisbon in 2 days?
Let's do it.
I like the freedom it gives me, but I like working with kids. very much. DeKalb High School is very, very challenging.
Yes.
Nowadays, but the good outweighs the bad.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
It's a really nice new high school they have, too.
It's a beautiful school.
It's really nice.
Yeah, it's a beautiful school.
Do you have a history with NIU?
I finished my education there after going to school in other places. And, of course, having gone to the lab school and lived in the area, my friends and I were always going into the buildings. They were,
yes.
The buildings were not locked.
Oh, wow.
And in Altguild Hall, you know, the towers,
mm-hmm.
we always wanted to get up into one of those towers. So we spent a lot of time just carousing around the university.
Yes.
The Student Center was the first really tall building in town that had elevators, so we'd go up and down in the elevators a lot. But more importantly, I got my English degree at Northern, and
yeah.
I had some wonderful teachers, wonderful, wonderful teachers in the English department, especially. And my parents had gone to Northern as well.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, there's a history there. Oh, and I remember when I was going to school at Northern, paying $300-some for a semester's tuition.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm kind of similar in that I have a philosophy degree.
Mm-hmm.
So one of those degrees that if you're not going to teach, you kind of have to
yeah.
sell it.
You did
kind
you
of
go
have
to
sell
Northern?
The degree. I did. So that's why I'm back in school.
Okay.
Is because,
yeah.
I mean, there's obviously very important things about philosophy, critical
mm-hmm.
thinking skills,
yes.
the idea of just thinking
right.
about something in general before you come to
mm-hmm.
conclusions about those things. I can definitely relate to that.
It's kind of a luxury now to get a liberal arts degree.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
And then you've got all the student loan to pay back.
Yes. If you could have had any other profession, what else would you have pursued? I mean, you pursued so much.
Probably being a travel writer.
Oh.
Yeah, because I love to travel and I do write frequently. Never been published, but I like to put my thoughts down.
Yeah. Of all the things you learned from your parents, what do you think was the most valuable?
That I am not the center of the universe. and that kindness is very, very important.
Yeah. What accomplishments are you most proud of?
Raising my kids with the other parents involved.
Yeah.
Also dealing successfully with alcohol addiction for several years.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And my spirit of adventure, having traveled alone in Europe at age 23 before going to school in France. When I think back now on all I did at that young age and all the places I went by myself, I was brave. And,
yeah.
and also very foolish, but it was cool that I did it. I'm glad I did start to see the world, because I think it's really, really important to see other cultures.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
It was probably a magical time, too, to think about now.
Yes, yes.
To be in Paris. What's one thing you want people to remember about you?
I'm always ready for adventure, and I love music.
Yes. Do you have any advice for future generations of DeKalb?
For anyone, pursue
yeah.
your passions. Don't be true to your own heart. Be honest with yourself. What
yes.
you want to do. Don't worry so much about what you think other people want you to do. Take care of the earth. It's
yes.
dying.
Yes.
Take care of the earth. It's scary. That's about it.